Good morning. Good morning, No BS. Coach Kathy here. Let's let you get everything settled down here, set up, change my name, let you know who I am. So, if you do not know me, if you are brand new to the program, I am Coach Kathy. I am subbing in for the amazing, incredible, insightful, entertaining Coach MJ, who is taking some very, very well-deserved time off. I am thrilled to be able to support her in her rest time, in her rest. So here we are. We are in Ask Me Anything, and I thought as you all came in, I wanted to share something with you really quick. Let's get, while I'm talking, let's get Coach Lisa up and running. If y'all don't know Coach Lisa, you need to. She is amazing. She is calm and witty and smart and all the things. And she will be helping out in the chat and in the Q&A with me today. Lisa is wonderful. You are correct, Christy. So I saw this post in the membership this morning in the Facebook group, and you'll probably see it if you go in there. It was talking about this woman was talking about, this member was talking about how she just doesn't know if she believes weight loss is for her. She stays in the membership because she sees everyone else's success. But she's never had that kind of success, doesn't even know what that kind of success would look like. And so I told her, I said, you're right. If you're here and you're wanting to lose your weight because you haven't lost weight before, of course your brain is looking to the past to go, I don't know if this is going to be successful or not. We failed all the other diets. We've done all the other things. But this is what I want you to know. Raise your hand if you've ever had that thought. Okay, I'm going to raise two hands because I've had that thought many times and I don't have many hands. I can remember when I first started, I was sitting on the couch. I had just met Corinne, 230 pounds, resigned to the fact that I was always going to be overweight my entire life. And that's only because I had failed Weight Watchers about five times. I had failed keto. I had failed, I don't know, the military diet, the diet where you only eat hot dogs, all the things. I had failed all those diets. So of course, I didn't have any belief that I was going to like lose my weight for the last time at 47 years old. But I still listened to Corinne, and I got that little tiny spark of hope. And I think that's what keeps this member here, is she sees the success of all the other members who have had the same thought that she has and sees them having success. So if you always look to your past for the answers to your questions, you're only giving yourself part of the story because you cannot see your future unless you have a beautiful crystal ball sitting on your desk. And you know how to conjure up the future in an accurate way. You have no idea what's in store for you. No idea. But you can create that future one day at a time, one step at a time, one meal at a time, all the things. Yeah, Christy, my crystal ball is broken too. Yeah, doesn't work. All right, one bite at a time, one meal at a time, one day at a time. That's all you need to create a weight loss future. And I'm going to tell you this, the fact that she posted about this means that she does have a little spark of hope. Otherwise, she wouldn't post at all. And the fact that you're here on this call, in this membership, listening to me, asking your questions, posting in the chat, listening on the replay means that you have a spark of hope too. Okay? So, why did I tell you all this? Because when you ask a question and you get support, that makes that spark of hope just a little bit brighter. So, ask your questions here, ask them in Ask Coaches, ask them in the Facebook group. That's why we're here. Because we know, Lisa, me, the other coaches know what it feels like to feel resigned to being overweight the rest of your life and how to overcome that. Okay? All right, so I have some questions here I'm going to get to first, and then we will get into the Q&A and see what y'all have for me, okay? All right. Estelle says tips on resistance to leaving bites on the plate. So first of all, bites on the plate are amazing. That's an amazing goal to have. But it's not necessary. It's only necessary if you are eating the extra bites fast enough. So a couple of tips might be serve yourself less. Watch for, oh, y'all. I've been working with my private clients on this. When you have the thought, I wonder if I'm at enough, then what thoughts come after that? Because those are the thoughts that are convincing you to eat more. Like, let's see, I should get all my protein in today. Or this is healthy, it's just salad. Or, but what if I get hungry later? Those are the thoughts that are leading you to eat what's left on your plate. So for Estelle, I would listen to what her brain is saying. I don't know if I need to waste food, right? I don't know if I can leave this behind, but it tastes so good. Those are the things that are creating the resistance. So what do you do when you have those thoughts? You go, oh, that's cute, brain. Thank you for trying to convince me to continue to eat when my body doesn't need it. Or, thanks. I always tell myself, I said, my brain is so fun. Let's see what kind of justifying it comes up with to keep me eating today. Okay, because eating is comfortable. Leaving bites behind isn't. But when you think about what those bites behind represent, if every bite you eat past enough is one that you wear in your pants, is it worth it? What's the currency you pay for eating past enough? For not leaving bites. Something to think about, right? My best action-oriented tip, Estelle, is to when you hit enough and there are bites left on your plate, if you are worried you're going to get hungry again, take that plate, fork and all, put it right into the refrigerator. Just right in. You don't have to package it. You don't have to, put it in a baggie. You don't have to do anything like that. Just put it right in the fridge and tell yourself, if I get hungry, there's my next bite. There's my next few bites. Then by the end of the day, if you haven't eaten it, just pitch it. Easy, easy peasy. The food will be there later. That's right. Y'all, we always have an abundance of food, right? So leaving bites behind on a plate rather than wearing them in our pants sounds like a good deal to me. Okay? Alicia, I'm struggling at dinner time the most. I always keep eating, even though I'm not quite hungry, just because it's time and the family is all eating. What are some tips to break this loop? It's a strong habit that's been happening for 23 years. We all eat dinner at night together. My thoughts are I don't want to miss out on the yummy dinner and time to connect with the family. I totally get it. Dinner, I mean, when I had my family at home, dinner was the one time I got to see both kids at the same time, and they were held captive because they were eating. They weren't off playing games or with their friends or whatever. So dinner time became very important to me. What I would suggest, Alicia, is that you back up and look at what you're eating for your afternoon snack or when you're eating lunch. See if you can create a day where you are hungry at dinner time. And a lot of times that has to do with lightening up the evening snack or not eating, sorry, afternoon snack or not eating an afternoon snack or eating lunch a little bit earlier in the day so that you actually are hungry at dinner time. Now, I'm not talking about eat your arm off hungry. Okay. I'm talking about you have hunger. You have that slight hunger when you know it's time to eat. Okay. I have heard Corinne and coaches say before, just sit there while they eat. I can't. I'm going to tell you something. Some people can do that and some people can't. I'm not one that can't. So what I try to do is make sure I have hunger at dinner time. And if that's not doable for you, serve yourself just a little bit so you don't eat past enough. Okay? Sheila, struggling to eat wisely while navigating challenging moments. Struggling to eat wisely while navigating challenging moments. That indicates to me, I have to make an assumption here, y'all. Tell me if you think I'm on the right path. that she's eating because of the challenging moments. She's overeating because of the stress in her life. So, eat wisely. Maybe she's grab-assing. Maybe she's picking French fries instead of a baked potato. Maybe she's, I'm not sure what eat wisely means. So I'll speak to both. If you have a plan, even in the challenging moments, you have already decided what your best intention for the day is. So if you know it's going to be a challenging day, I would frame it with an intentional plan in the beginning. Okay. That intentional plan has to be doable. All right. That doesn't mean you're going to plan a salad for lunch when you don't have lettuce in the fridge. Okay. And it doesn't mean, you have to go to the store and buy something. What it means is you have decided ahead of time what your best options for that day are. Okay. So we hit the quality of food when she says struggle to eat wisely in that area. Okay. Now, if she's talking about overeating or eating in response to stress, then what that indicates to me is that she's trying to distract from the uncomfortable feelings that are coming around the challenging moments. So how else can you create comfort? Right? You can create it, comfort is a feeling. You can create it one of two ways, either by what you're thinking or by some approach that you have in your home, something you already do that makes you feel comfortable. So, right now we're dealing with some elder care situations. Ken's sister, who we are both very close to, is having a lot of illness issues. And I have looked back and I've thought about how, I'm not really eating out of comfort. But when she calls and she's in a state that I don't understand, I feel the anxiety and the stress build. So what I've been doing is I've been grabbing my fuzzy blanket and I've been wrapping myself up in it because there's something about my blanket that makes me feel comfortable, that comforts me, that settles my nerves, that settles my stress. Okay. And this, I can't even tell you. I mean, this is, it's not like a cashmere or something or other blanket. It's like a fleece blanket that somebody gave me years ago, but there's something about the softness of it that if I wrap it around me nice and tight, it feels like a warm, soft hug. So you can either create thoughts that help you feel better, or you can do something in your environment that helps you feel better. Sometimes it's lavender oil. Do y'all like the smell of lavender? There's something about it that I just love, and it's just, oh, it just makes me feel good. Patty says pets give her comfort. Absolutely. There is nothing like having a dog look at you with those great big eyes full of love, right? Or a cat, and you can pet them and love on them. Anything you can do during those challenging moments that helps you feel more comfortable is what I would suggest. Okay. Now, the thoughts that might come, depending on the challenging moments, yeah, lilac. That's a good one for me too, Nancy. The thoughts that might come are something that's grounding, like I can figure this out, or I am thinking tomorrow will be better, or today hasn't been great, but I'm still upright. Sometimes it's just something really grounding. Sometimes it's something really settling, like I know ultimately what the best thing to do is. Okay. So that's maybe a meditation, maybe a soothing, some soothing music, something like that. Anything that you can create comfort with before you turn to food. Okay. Michelle, I'm struggling with date night. Wednesdays, we eat at a bar and I drink a few drinks. I stop at my food enough, but I drink three drinks, so it's just too many. Thursdays, I always gain, and Fridays, I'm disappointed. I want to go, but I need to change something up. Any suggestions? Yeah, why are you drinking three drinks if you know it's too many? What if you were to like have a drink, then have a glass of club soda? Oh man, y'all, I'm gonna bring my dad to this call. It's hotter than the fires of hell in Nashville. Okay, we've got extreme heat warnings. It's hot. I'm probably sweating right here in my office in the air conditioning. I love club soda with a squeeze of lime in the summertime. It is so refreshing. So, what if you were to alternate? Have a drink, have some club soda because it's so dang hot. Have a drink, then decide. You know, date night's fun, but why is date night connected to three drinks? You know, what about date night can you create special around that doesn't have to do with the three drinks? If you say it's too many, then how are you going to mitigate that? That's my question for you, okay? And maybe as you're thinking about that three drink, that third drink, you're asking yourself, you know what? Do I want to see that gain on Thursday? Do I want to feel that disappointment on Friday? If I don't have a third drink, what do I think I'm going to feel? Maybe accomplished, maybe satisfied, maybe proud on Thursday and Friday? Maybe like I've got my own back. That's what I'd ask myself. Okay. Robin, making sure I'm not skipping one. Lisa, let me know if I skip one by accident. Down 25 pounds total. Congratulations, Robin. That's amazing. How do I not sabotage myself and regain? Why would you sabotage yourself? This is always such an interesting question to me. We're on a roll of losing weight and we're worried about sabotaging ourselves. What does that even mean? Does that mean you're worried you're going to overeat once? Does that mean you're worried you're going to give up? Does that mean that the way you're losing weight isn't the way you're going to live your life? Because to me, that's where sabotage comes in. If we are restricting too much and then we let our foot off the gas because we've reached a goal, is that sabotage or is that a result of restricting too much? So think about it in those terms. You know, if you lost your 25 pounds living exactly the life or pretty close to the life you want to live, just within hunger and enough, then why would you sabotage that? What else is going on there? I'd like to see this one and ask coaches. Because self-sabotage to me is a result a lot of times of working too hard and restricting too much. Because if you like the way you're losing the weight, then why would you sabotage? Karen says, sabotage for me means the fear that I can't really do it. So if I keep myself hanging out at this much weight loss, I'm still succeeding versus gaining it back and failing. Okay. Fear that I can't really do it. I talked about that at the beginning of the call, right? We all have that fear. We all have that because we haven't proven to ourselves yet that we can do it. Yet Robin has lost 25 pounds. Karen, I don't know how much you've lost, but it's a shit ton, right? So maybe that's what you do is you tell yourself, I don't have evidence that I can lose it all and keep it off, but dang, I've lost 25 pounds and wasn't that hard. And I showed up for myself and I feel pretty good about it. So I think it's like changing that story. It's like evaluating this story that's fear-based and going, is that something that's going to take me to my next 25? Or do I want to look just at the 25 pounds I've lost, how I've done it, and how I felt about it, and start building my story from there? Something to think about. Karen's at 70, was at 75, then went down to 63. All in my mentally safe and not failing zone. Yeah, because you have a story about it, because you know you have the confidence, because you have lost a little bit of weight, 25 pounds, 70 pounds, whatever it is, and you know how to do it. And when you focus on that piece of the story, not the other piece of the story, then that's how you prevent sabotage. Mara says, how do you deal when your body doesn't deal well with heat and humidity? Feels heavy, feelings heavy, drinking, and it's just putting pounds on. So you probably have some inflammation, Mara. And this is what our bodies do. This is a normal reaction to heat and humidity. Is if we lose too much water through sweat, our bodies are going to go into a little bit of threat zone. They're going to be like, oh, it's hot outside. We better hold on to every bit of water because we don't want to dehydrate. So what you need to do, Mara, is make sure you are drinking all the water, maybe even a little bit of extra water, so that you can reassure this beautiful body of yours that you are taking care of it. Okay? And then just be patient. Be patient through the weather. Ours is supposed to break tomorrow. Fingers crossed, I hope. I don't know. We're on like 25 days or 28 days of temperatures over 90, and it's just really, it's summer. It's summer in the South. So I give my body grace for taking care of me, and I in turn take care of it back by increasing the water a little bit. Lucy says, I'm having trouble with, I'm on vacation. I can choose what I eat, but I want to indulge in eating my face off. Girl, I got you. I'm gonna tell you a story. Speaking of water, in June, I took the trip of a lifetime with my family, with one of my sons and his family and my husband. We went to Europe for the very first time. Well, first since I was a kid and went to England. Went to Germany, western part of Germany, Luxembourg and Paris. And I knew the food was going to be different. The drinks were going to be different because we were going to the wine region of Germany. And, I decided on the front end that I wasn't going to restrict my food. I'm not going to. I'm going to enjoy the local foods. What I was going to do, though, was make sure that I didn't overeat. And here's why. This is the part I want you to listen to, Lucy. I created what Corinne calls in the I believe it's in the first module of No BS, behavioral whys for my trip. I didn't say, a big why is I want to lose weight so I look good in my pants. I want to lose weight so, I can jump out of an airplane. I want to lose weight so, I have a long, healthy life. It's a big why, beautiful big why. But sometimes we make those behavioral whys, those whys today, we don't want to eat past enough. So my behavioral why for while I was on vacation was, it's June, it's Europe, they don't have a lot of air conditioning over there, y'all. Like next to none. I think we had air conditioning one night, and that was in Luxembourg. So I knew I was going to be hot. I knew I was going to spend my days hot. Who wants to walk around Paris with millions of people? I mean, seriously, have y'all ever been there? It's huge. Millions of people in the heat with a stomach that's too full. Not this girl. So I decided I'm going to eat what I want, but I'm going to leave food behind if it's more than I need. And that worked out amazingly because I have no, I have, I was able to enjoy pastries. I didn't have schnitzel. Y'all, I went to Germany and didn't have schnitzel. Wherever I was, they never had it. I don't know. But had lots of charcuterie, lots of meats and cheeses, lots of fresh breads. Holy cow, the fresh breads. Wine at every meal. I mean, not breakfast, but lunch and dinner, they serve you table wine. I just didn't eat past enough because I didn't want the consequence that came with eating past enough while I'm walking the hills of Western Germany in the heat of Paris. Okay? So for you, Lucy, I think you'd do something like that. Ask yourself, what would be the currency I'd pay for eating my face off? How am I going to feel? Is it going to enhance my vacation, or is it going to put a damper on my vacation? And I'm gonna guess, unless you're going to like the North Pole or Alaska or, somewhere super cold, you're going somewhere where it's warm. So you might think about how would my body feel if I ate my face off in this heat? Probably not so good. Right? So the behavioral whys are very fine-tuned to the time period you're looking at, to the behavior that you're looking at. And that's how I got through my vacation, by asking myself, how do I want to feel every day when I wake up and walk the streets of Paris? I don't feel good. I don't feel energetic. I want to feel like, I'm going to feel hot. I want to feel cool. I might not. But what's going to make me feel my best is making sure I get my water in, making sure I get electrolytes in. Holy cow, I couldn't believe one day I had a Powerade and I felt like a million times better because I had sweat so much. But not overeating. I wanted to enjoy the bites that I had, every single bite, be present with every single bite that I had so that I would be okay with pushing food away so I didn't overeat. Hope that helps, Lucy. I hope you enjoy your trip. Candy says, if I'm working on serving less, should I also try the halftime method this week? Sure, why not? Why not? If it's significantly less, maybe your halftime method is to stop at 75%. Maybe it's to stop at half. Every time you do the halftime method, you are collecting data, regardless of the amount of food on your plate. So why not? Why wouldn't you? I think it's a great idea, even if you're serving less. You're just collecting even more data. You're collecting data based on, the serving that you're giving yourself as you do the halftime method. So I say, sure. If you want to do it, I'd say do it. If you want to break it up into 2 different weeks, that's fine too. Whatever works for you. That's the key to this program, y'all. And this is really important. Whatever works for you, the pace at which you take the program, the things that you try, the analysis that you give it, it's up to you. We're here to help you and support you and give you ideas, but you're not behind. You're not doing it wrong. If you're following exactly what you think is best for you, you're doing it exactly right. Okay? Emily, mindless overeats and grab eats creeping in with all the summer foods out and birthdays, needing to control the urge to eat or at least recognize it before it's happening. Any thoughts on improving these? Yes. Mindless overeats and grab eats. You got to catch them when they happen. It might be before they happen, it might be during the mindless eat, or it might be after. And you got to say, all right, I notice I just grabbed this. That's okay. What am I going to do next time? How am I going to keep myself from grabbing it next time? What am I willing to try? I'm curious though, with all the summer foods out, are they out at your house? If they are, why? Put them away. But if they're out at someone else's house or picnics or something, create like some thoughts ahead of time or some action steps ahead of time that are going to help you manage it. I heard Betsy say recently, well, I've heard her say this for years actually, when she goes to on picnics or to other people's houses for, the big smorgasbord dinner, she only eats if her butt is touching something, a stool or a chair, so she doesn't eat standing up at the counter, and she only eats off a plate. You take those two rules on your summer picnics or your, get-togethers or your birthday parties, you're going to decrease the amount of grab assing that you're doing. But if you're doing a flyby every time you hit the kitchen island, grabbing a chip or a, piece of fruit or a popcorn or whatever, sandwich or whatever's there, then you're not really visually seeing the amount of food that you're eating. It becomes a grab ass situation. Okay? But if you put it on a plate and you put your butt in a chair, then you are much, much more present with what you're eating. So mindless overeats and grab assing indicate you're not being present. Okay? So then you want to create presence. Karen says the flybys are what gets me in a lot, gets me a lot with even, yeah, when I'm hosting. Yeah, no flybys. Tell yourself, if it's not on a plate, it doesn't go into my hand. Have you ever thought about eating out of a bowl where everybody else's hands are in the bowl? Maybe they're clean. Maybe they're not, right? I think about that kind of stuff. If that kind of thought works for you, go for it. Maybe you only have serving utensils when you're eating out of a bowl, right? I don't know. Anyway, that's how I look at it. Then the other thing is I put space between me and the food. So you talked about needing to control the urge to eat or at least recognize it. I don't stand at the island if there's food at the island. I will stand out of arm's reach and talk to the people who aren't at the island. So I create that space because then I have to intentionally walk to the island to grab the food. It doesn't just like pop in my mouth. So a few little tips. A few little tips. I hope that helps. Christy asks, what's the benefit of having a 10-pound range limit versus a 5-pound range limit in maintenance? Or is it all in the way you think about the limit? I would say it's up to you. Again, we're in a program that's very intuitive, that's very adaptable to what you need. A 5 pound range limit is more constraining. Okay. So if you hit pound six, then you might, be more likely to go, oh, a little out of the range. Where do I need to tighten up? But if it's a wider range, you've given yourself more latitude. So if you are a person that's fine with more latitude, I'd say that's fine. But if you like to have a little bit more constraint, you like to have that little nudge when you hit pound number six, then I would say use a 5 pound range. So it's I would say for me, it's a 5 pound range because I need the nudge. Otherwise, I'm like, oh, look, pound six, I'm still within range. Pound seven, I'm still within range. And I don't want that snowball effect. I know me, and I'm very much like you all. I'll turn a blind eye and I'll be like, no, everything's fine. I'll get my little soft voice out and be like, oh, you're fine, Kathy. When I'm probably not, because I have all those justification thoughts too. Okay. Sandy, figuring out hunger before it's full blown starving and panic. I can't seem to figure out if I'm hungry unless I feel an empty stomach or to the point of shaky. I know it shouldn't be this hard. All right, so there is a doable hunger chart on the website on the helpful resources page for those of us that are members more than 31 days or 30 days. The doable hunger chart is really, really great because it has physical sensations on it and it also has thoughts you might be thinking on it. So, man, Lisa, you're fast, girl. So Lisa just put a link in the chat. You know what? I think for you, Sandy, no. Yes, Sandy. I think for you, here's what I would do. And anyone who wants to try this, it's a fun little exercise. Sometimes I give it to my private clients. Print out, I don't know, 8 or 10 of them. And then put the date on each on the top of each one, like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever the date is, or the date. And then before you eat and after you're done, go back to the chart and just note, I was here for breakfast on the hunger side. I was here for breakfast on the enough side. Here's lunch. Here's Mercedes. Hello. All right. I got to give Mercedes credit for this. She's the one who came up with this idea. But I have used it like a boss. Make your notes on that chart each day, and it will help remind you of where you are, and it will also give you some data about what your inclination is. Are you more likely to eat past enough at lunch, at dinner? Are you eating your snack when you're hungry, or are you like neutral? So that's what I would do. That's a really, really good way to kind of reground yourself in your hunger and enough signals. Thank you, Mercedes. You're funny. Ginger, help keeping the momentum. Keep moving steps forward. Do y'all remember? I talk about this sometimes. So I'll be 60 this year. So I've got some years on me. When I was a kid, we had those claymation Christmas stories, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. What else? Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Do you remember those? The little claymation with Burl Ives. So Santa Claus is Coming to Town had the Winter Warlock in it. Do you remember? He was the bad guy. Frosty the Snowman was one. That's right. The Winter Warlock. Do you remember the Winter Warlock? He was the bad guy. Santa Claus is Coming to Town. And I remember a song that he used to sing. And it was put one up. Karen's singing it. Put one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking across the floor. Put one foot in front of the other, soon you'll be walking out the door. That is genius because it indicates to us that keeping the momentum is taking that one step, whether we want to or not, whether we think it's worth it or not. You can override that crappy brain of yours. You absolutely can. And momentum is built with motion. Okay? So put one foot in front of the other, whether your crappy brain is coming along for the ride or not. That's how you keep momentum. And then you go back and you tell that crappy brain, I got you. I know we'd have doubts. I know we have fears. It's all right. I got you. 'Cause we're gonna test this out. We're gonna pivot. We're gonna take a risk. We're gonna do the thing and see what happens. Okay? That's how you keep momentum. Karen, what is the best way to make progress after regaining weight? Make a plan. Ask yourself, am I hungry? Ask yourself, have I had enough? One meal, next meal. That's all. What are you going to eat? When are you going to eat it? Are you hungry? Put one foot in front of the other, right? That's all you got to do. That's the best way to make progress after regaining weight. Take that next best step. And if you want a big solution, go back and take that no BS course. I have a client right now who's, I can't even tell you how many times she's taken it, but she's back in it now and she's hearing things for the first time. Because each time you take it, each time you do something new, you're teaching yourself something new. You're teaching yourself resilience because you've had a gain and you're taking your next best step, eating your next best meal when you're hungry. And you're teaching yourself that you can show up for yourself. That it's not, always going to be, I can't lose weight. Think about how good that feels. Everybody think for a minute. If you are a resilient, think about what it feels in your body to feel resilient. You sit up straight, your brain's clear, your shoulders are down. When you feel like you've got your own back, your posture's good, your breathing's deep. There's no better feeling than knowing that you've got your own back. And if you've had a regain, I've had one, and you get back and you start again and you make that first plan and you ask yourself, am I hungry? All the stuff that you learned losing weight the first time comes flooding back, especially if it's no BS stuff, because that's the good stuff, right? You're like, oh yeah, I could do this. Oh, yeah, I remember this. I remember this feeling. That's what I would do. Okay? The small steps. And then if you want the big assignment, go back through that no BS course. It is gold. How many times do we say it, Lisa? It's the best one so far. It always is, right? It's really good. Really, really good. All right, Nicole, what are some things you can tell yourself when you think you want fast food instead of saying on your plan? I always ask myself, my favorite question is, what's the currency I'm going to pay for this? Is it worth it? So if I'm driving home and I know I don't want to make dinner and McDonald's is right there, I'll ask my, and I have that suggestion, should just stop and get a burger. I'll ask myself, what's the currency I'll pay? All right, I'm going to have a burger ball in my stomach because I'll overeat it and all the French fries. It's going to mess up my digestion for sure. It's gonna mess up my bathroom habits. Probably not gonna sleep well. And was there a benefit to it other than I didn't have to fix dinner? No, probably not. Probably not. And then I'd ask myself, all right, let's say I decide to bypass the fast food. What's the currency I pay for fixing my own dinner? Thinking, a little bit of time, a little bit of energy. Little bit of eating on plan. Sometimes you got to weigh the pros and the cons of each decision. And so when you have that urge, weigh your pros and cons. But make sure you do it from a place of this is what I know about myself, not from a place of I'm a good person or a bad person. Okay? Dawn, is drinking more or unplanned diet soda the same as eating a sweet that I really want but don't plan? This is a really good question. So I would say if it's club soda or something that's pretty close to water, not caffeinated, I would say it's fine. It's like drinking water. But if it's a, I don't know, a diet soda, I don't really have trouble with the diet soda. If you don't have any problem with the sweetener or whatever, I think it's the caffeine that kind of gets in your way. You can't really count everything as anything caffeinated as water. In fact, caffeine tends to dehydrate you. So if you are drinking diet soda and it's like diet Sprite or diet 7-Up or caffeine-free diet Coke and you don't mind, whatever's in it, I think that's fine. But if it's diet Coke or diet Dr. Pepper or diet Pepsi or diet Mountain Dew, you want to watch that stuff because that's caffeinated. Yeah, Amy says aspartame. Aspartame gives some people headaches. Have y'all noticed that? I don't know that it's everybody, but some people do. Some people react to some of those chemicals. It's just part of knowing who you are, right? Part of knowing how your body reacts to different things. Jennifer says, "How do I plan every day? My food is spur of the moment." All right, so Jennifer, why is your food spur of the moment? Is it because you work outside the home and you're dependent on what the cafeteria is fixing? Is it because somebody else fixes your food? Is it a reason that you're okay with, I guess is my point. Or is it spur of the moment because you didn't have a plan, or you didn't want to make a plan, or you didn't know what was in the kitchen? So for me, what I do is, and some of you heard me talk about this before, but it works so well for me. I don't like going to the grocery store. I'm not a person who's going to the grocery store every day. That is not me. Okay. It's too hot. It's either too hot or too cold, and I don't want to get out. So once a week, I decide what food I need in the house for the meals for the next week. And I make a list. Breakfasts are going to be this. Lunches are going to be that. Here's the plan for every dinner. I build my grocery list based on that plan. Then I put the plan on the refrigerator, go buy the groceries, and boom, and done. So I know tonight is an old HelloFresh recipe that I have for pancetta mac and cheese. It's got cauliflower in it. That's dinner. I got the pancetta downstairs. I got the pasta downstairs. I got the riced cauliflower. I think milk goes in it. A little bit of Italian cheese. That's it. Dinner. It's already there. I already know it. I don't have to shop for it. I've already made that decision. I don't have to, oh, good grief. I don't have to work all day and then go downstairs and decide what's for dinner. That's how I make food easy. So very, I often, I almost never have spur of the moment meals unless Ken comes up and says, "I really want to go out tonight. Do you mind?" And then I decide, back to those pros and cons, like the fast food, right? What's the currency I'm going to pay? Is this okay? Is he wanting to go somewhere that, I want to eat something? All the things. Okay. Marie, I weigh every day, and some days on my low day of the week, Wednesday, I hit my goal, but I've been counting Thursday as my official weigh-in day, which can be a little higher sometimes. Does it make a day which day does it make a difference which day I choose to track my losses? No. I had a client one time. I'm not even kidding. She weighed every day, and she would record her weight for every day, and then the one that she chose for the week would be the lowest one for the week. It could have happened on Monday, could happen on Wednesday, could happen on Thursday, but that was the weight she chose. I don't care if you're losing weight. Your weight is going to do this anyway, y'all. It's going to be that wavy thing anyway. You can do it Friday to Friday or Thursday to Thursday or Monday to Monday or Monday to Wednesday. I don't care as long as you are eating when you're hungry and stopping it enough and making choices that work in your body. I don't care what weight you choose. I just want you to feel successful. Okay? That's my thing. Just feel successful. I am a very precise person. So yeah, Rosie weighs every day and rests on her average. So I'm going to do Friday to Friday. I'm a rule follower. I'm precise. I'm a very analytical person, but not everybody's like me. So if you want to average for the week, if you want to, look at your lightest day. If you want to pick Wednesday over Thursday, it does not matter to me if you feel good about the choice and the reason you're making it. How's that for an answer? All right, Nina, I'm so bad at journaling. Get me started, please. I got you. I got you, Nina. My beginner journalers, all of you out there, here's the first journal prompt I ever give anyone. Today, I am feeling X, and here's why. Fill in the X. Today, I'm feeling sad, and here's why. Today I'm feeling motivated, and here's why. Today I'm feeling overwhelmed, and here's why. That's a really, really great question because it puts you in touch with what you're feeling, has you name the feeling, and it tells you what you're thinking that creates the feeling. So if you've got a day where you're feeling happy or grateful, don't you want to write that stuff down so that you can go back on a day that you're not feeling happy or grateful and go, all right, on that day I was feeling happy, what was I thinking? And is that accessible to me now? Right? Is that how I want to feel today? So always my very first prompt I always give everyone is today I am feeling this and here's why. Go forth, do your journaling. Susan, slowing down is a difficult habit to break. Putting the fork down between bites is good if I remember. Sometimes I'm moving so fast I forget everything. How else can I slow down? I've heard people say, Susan, to eat with your non-dominant hand. That will slow you down in a New York second. I'm going to tell you, I can't do that. All my stuff would end up on my shirt because my left hand is pretty close to useless to me. I'm very, very right dominant. But a lot of people will try that. Eat with a smaller utensil. We always use soup spoons for soup. What if you use a teaspoon? What if you create space between you and your food? If you're sitting in a chair and you're holding your food under your chin, right? So you don't get any on your shirt, then you're going to eat faster because there's not as much space for you to move that fork. So put your food down in your lap or on a table. Try chopsticks. That's a good one. I think when you have the thought, boy, this is good. I'm eating fast. You put your fork down. Or try putting your fork down between bites while you're chewing. Any of these little tips. I also had a client one time who would take her phone and she had a bite timer or use the timer app on her phone and she put it in her lap. Not on the table, in her lap, because she didn't care. She didn't really want anybody else seeing her bite timer. And so she put that phone in her lap and she would time it 15 or 20 seconds between bites or whatever feels doable to you and let it go off every 15 or 20 seconds. I tell you what, if you can slow your eating down using one of these tactical methods or the way you think about your eating or something like that, you will find enough sooner. I promise you that. I work with people all the time and tell them if you want to find enough and you're a fast eater, slow the heck down. Slow down. Okay? Because that is going to show you, it's going to give you enough space in your brain to think about how your body feels between bites. Tatiana, some language for not effort eating over little effort eatings. I know the one about can I save this day, but others would be great. So what's happening here is she's having an overeat and an overeating because of her overeating, right? So can I save this day is a good one. It's kind of, pie in the sky. But you can also say, I've already had enough. I mean, you can be so neutral about it, right? You can be, can I save this day? And everything is going to be fine and all that kind of stuff. Or you can just say, I don't want to layer an overeat on top of an overeat. That's not how I lose weight. What I want to do is think about why I overeat to begin with. And then go after that from an assessment standpoint, from like a scientist standpoint, not a judgy one, and go, okay, where'd that first overeat come from? Because the day's not lost. And what's happening if you overeat over an overeat is you're beating yourself up for the first overeat and you've made yourself so uncomfortable that overeating again feels better. Well, what if just looking at it from a very neutral perspective and solving for the first one actually makes you feel better? Our brains are problem solvers. We are problem solvers by nature. We're always looking for problems. And we're always looking for the answers to things. That's why we ask ourselves all the time, well, what if this is going to happen? What if this is going to happen? What if this is going to happen? So answer the questions. Right? If you look at that first overeat and you say, okay, I overate because I wasn't paying attention. Well, okay. Next time, how can I pay attention? What can I do? Can I put my fork down? Can I slow my eating down? Can I, put my food in my lap instead of under my chin? What sounds like the next best doable step here that's not overeating again? So, yes, you can still save the day. You can also see about the next meal. I'm just going to wait till I'm hungry. I'm gonna wait till I'm hungry before I eat again. It doesn't have to be some big pie in the sky thing. It can be a really simple action step. Because remember, just one foot in front of the other, one step at a time. And the more you look at that first overeat from the perspective of, I want to figure this out, the more you teach yourself and the more valuable that overeat becomes. Right? Every overeat is an opportunity to learn what's causing the need or the desire to overeat. And if you can tap on that need or that desire in a way that you can use in the future to fulfill that gap before eating, then what you've used that overeat has become very valuable to you. It has opened doors for you to create comfort, to create well-being, to create distraction, whatever it is, in different ways. Okay? Lisa, I normally drink a lot of water and it keeps me full, and sometimes I'm so full, cannot eat what I plan. Should I just not eat? You might also play with your water schedule a little bit, Lisa. But sometimes it worked conversely for me. Sometimes if I think I'm hungry, sometimes I'll have water to see if I'm really hungry. So I'd be curious to know how much you think a lot of water is, and if you're drinking it right before a meal or during your meal. You might play with it a little bit. I'd be curious to know if you're losing weight or not losing weight. So Lisa, I think what I'd like you to do is go to Ask Coaches and give me kind of like a schedule of when are you drinking your water and how much. And if it keeps you full, then, are you still eating or are you not eating at all? Okay, I need a little bit more information on this one. Carolyn says, Coach Kathy, what was your most favorite things or things you ate on vacation? I'm gonna tell you, Carolyn. I had to convince my family that I needed an eclair. I cannot leave Paris without having an eclair. So I went to a patisserie. It had to be one of the last mornings we were there. And I got the best eclair. Oh, look, you put that in the Q&A too. Good. The best eclair I've ever had. It's just like any other eclair, right? Of course, it's made in a French patisserie, but it had coffee flavored cream on the inside and coffee flavored icing on the top. Now, I know a lot of eclairs have like the white cream and the chocolate icing. I got a coffee eclair and holy moly, best thing I've ever had. I didn't even know it existed. So I enjoyed every single bite of that thing and I didn't overeat. That's the only thing I had for breakfast, along with coffee, of course. Anonymous says, how do you take care of yourself when you don't like the way you look? My energy is low, sluggish, and the feelings are leading me to turn to food. Oh, such a good question. Such a good question. I think it is so easy for all of us to pick apart the way we look. I was getting ready for this call and I was going, D girl, this hair, these glasses. I mean, what we do normally is, like I said earlier in the call, is that we always look for problems first. Okay? Because our brains are natural problem solvers. We're naturally looking for the tigers that Corinne always talks about that are, going to steal our food or, chase us as we come out of the cave. So our brains, our nervous systems naturally look for the problems first. Okay. So if you know that about yourself, then maybe what you do first, Anonymous, is you ask yourself, okay, I see the problems, but what else do I see? Kind of like the way this gray hair right here looks. Or maybe the glasses aren't so bad. They match the color of my hair. Or, my eyes look nice today. I did a good job filling in my eyebrows. Whatever it is, you catalog what else could be there. That's where you start. Your energy is low and sluggish. Could it be because you turn to food? How about if you, I want you to try this. When you notice that you don't like the way you look, what if you just get up and walk around the house for a minute? Create a little energy, stand up before you eat, because it could be that the overeating is also creating that sluggish feeling, right? Because what happens when you overeat or you eat when you're not hungry is that all the blood in your body goes to your belly to digest, right? This is what happened at Thanksgiving, right? Well, that's why we get so tired after Thanksgiving dinner, is because all of our energy resources are in our digestive system and we don't want to move. So maybe before you eat, you see what your energy looks like. And you catalog just one thing you might like about yourself, and see if that helps. Okay. Lee says, since it is fresh local fruit and vegetables, since fresh local fruit and vegetables are coming in, I'm having trouble stopping it enough on things like green beans, tomatoes, peaches, and watermelon. I keep thinking two or three bites over enough because it tastes so good. My rebellious teenage brain, her name is Leroy, keeps telling me it's no big deal because they are fresh vegetables and whole fruits, no sugar, cream, not junk food. How do I change these thoughts? Lee, I've seen you in the chat, so I want you to tell me, is it true that two or three bites over enough doesn't matter? Is that true? No matter what you eat, what are you teaching yourself? Tell me, Lee. No, right. This is so good because she has this urge to overeat, and then all these justification thoughts come in. It's just fruits and vegetables. It's just protein. It tastes good. They're fresh, right? All that's true. But does that justify an overeat? No. No. We enjoy the bites between hunger and enough, like there's n nothing better in the world. But that does not justify an overeat. So what I would tell you to do, Lee, here's your, we gave you a little thought work, right? Question the thoughts. But then why aren't you canning this stuff and making jams and stuff? If it's fresh, if it's that good, I'd figure out how I can enjoy that freshness past summertime so that you can enjoy it now and enjoy it later. How about that? But really and truly, you ask yourself, when you have those thoughts that justify those extra eats, you ask yourself, what's the currency I'm going to pay for it? A, I'm teaching myself it's okay sometimes to overeat. Is that what you want? B, I'm putting more in my body than my body needs. So I'm going to take more resources and put them in digestion, and I'm going to put it in my pants, even though it's fruits and vegetables. You can overeat broccoli. What are you teaching yourself? That sometimes it's okay because it tastes good? I don't know. That's not what I want to teach myself. I want to teach myself to take care of this amazing body of mine in a way that makes sense. Okay. Thanks, Doreen. I have bouts of depression or burnout frequently. How do I use a depression protocol or any other tips or methods to continue making progress rather than gaining all of my weight back every time it hits? I heard Corinne talk one time about a depression protocol. And what she told herself was very, very doable for her. So if you need to create a depression protocol, it's probably not going to say things like, have a salad or make sure you're eating right. It's probably going to say, you don't stay in bed all day. You take a shower. You have a glass of water. You wrap up in your favorite blanket. You eat what's available and easy, but only to enough. So when you create a depression protocol or a burnout protocol, it has to be something that's doable and something that is accessible to you when you're in these bouts of depression and burnout. It's really, really important that you care for yourself in ways that are helpful during those times. Because if your depression protocol is too much, what's that going to do? How's that going to make you feel? Not great. So create a depression protocol that's actually accessible to you and moves you just one step forward. Okay? If you need help with that, hit us up and ask coaches. In fact, any of this, if you have any questions about anything I said today, anything Lisa said in the chat, any of the questions that were answered, if you have any questions at all, make that step and hit us up and ask coaches or tag us in the Facebook group or come to a call or sign up for private coaching. Whatever it is you need, we are here for. We got you. Okay. Yeah, Lisa said it. We're here for you. We love being here for you. It's just like why we're here, why we were born. Okay. So use us, all right? That looks like all the questions. I don't see anything else, so I will let you go for today. Holler at us if we can do anything at all for you, and have a great day. Stay cool. Stay cool in this heat, okay? Take good care of yourselves. All right. Bye now.